I'm Marco Werman. It's The World. It doesn't matter if you believe in God or not for this next story. You're about to meet a goddess, an actual living deity. You can do that in Nepal. There's a centuries-old tradition there, which continues to this day, of worshipping young girls as goddesses. Many Nepali Hindus and Buddhists believe these girls to be reincarnations of the Hindu goddess Durga. Right now, there are a few in the area around Kathmandu. The world's Sonia Narang met one of them when she was in Nepal recently.
Along a busy thoroughfare near Kathmandu, a passageway leads into a large open-air courtyard. In the back corner, there's a modest home with a red sign outside that simply reads, Living Goddess. A narrow wooden staircase leads up to the second floor, where the goddess spends much of her childhood. She's called a Kumari, which means young, unmarried girl in Nepali. People from around the world flock here to get a glimpse of her. I got to know the mother of the Kumari after several visits to her house. Her name is Shobha Bhadracharya. She has a full, round face with a sweet smile. But she gets shy and laughs nervously when I turn on the microphone. I ask her how she felt when her daughter was chosen to be a Kumari a few years ago.
I felt both happy and sad. On one hand, I felt happy because when your daughter becomes God, having a God in the home is a delightful thing. But I also got scared because I wasn't sure if I would be able to follow all the rules.
And there are many rules. For one, Shobha has to apply special makeup to her daughter's face in intricate designs. Her daughter isn't allowed to go outside, except for festivals. On those occasions, her feet must not touch the ground. That means someone has to carry the 11-year-old goddess. Another major rule, the Kumari isn't permitted to speak to anyone besides her family and close friends. So the only way to find out what life is like for a child goddess is to talk to a former Kumari. I call up the Kumari's predecessor, and she agrees to an interview in her home. We sit on the floor of the dark chamber where she spent a decade praying and blessing visitors. I expect we'll do the interview in Nepali, but when I ask her a question, she starts speaking fluently in English. She learned the language by reading newspapers during her Kumari days.
When I was a goddess, I used to peek through the holes of windows.
Chanira Bhadracharya is now a 19-year-old business student. She looks like any ordinary teenager in her fashionable green t-shirt and black pants. But she became a Kumari when she was just 5.
Being a goddess is just like being a princess, and you get everything at home. I never miss going outside, but rather enjoyed staying in home and being the part of that divine life.
But that divine life ended abruptly when she was 15, the day she had her first period. Suddenly, she was no longer the Kumari. She says the transition was difficult.
When I had to step out of my house for the first time, I didn't know how to walk properly. My mom and dad, they used to hold my hands and then teach me how to walk.
During her Kumari years, private tutors taught her at home. All of a sudden, she started going to school with other kids.
That was a big challenge for me. All the classmates, they were so afraid to talk to me because I was an ex-goddess, and so I was treated a little bit differently. They used to say that I'm an alien. They said that to me.
Believers no longer bowed down to her or touched her feet as they'd done for years.
When I came out of goddess, I lost that respect. I never imagined that my life would be changed in such a sudden blow.
As soon as Chanira's tenure ended, local priests chose a new Kumari. Her successor happened to be a close friend, almost like a younger sister.
When I was a goddess, she used to come here, the current Kumari, and we were like friends, as she knows about the Kumari life.
And that life full of prayer also includes doing homework. When I go back to the current Kumari's home, her mother allows me to go inside her room and watch a private tutoring session. For the first time, I see her as a normal girl, as she sits quietly at her desk taking notes. Her tutor tells me this Kumari is really interested in the outside world. Later, the Kumari's mother invites me to a special festival in a few days' time. I arrive as she's carefully applying makeup to her daughter's forehead. She takes out ornate necklaces and armbands from a mahogany wooden cabinet full of accessories. The Kumari grimaces as her mother fastens this heavy jewelry on her. Outside their home, hundreds of people have gathered to offer the Kumari flowers and donations, and to receive her blessings. Soon, Shobha lifts her daughter and carries her down the stairs. She places her on a throne in the center of the courtyard, and the festivities begin.
That report by The World's Sonia Narang, who was in Nepal last year. She's with me now to update us on the status of the Kumari. You found out recently, Sonia, that the goddess retired from her position and a new girl has been selected as Kumari. So what does that actually mean?
Yeah, she is no longer the Kumari because she had her first period. And I spoke to her on the phone, and it's the first time I got to hear her voice because she's now allowed to speak to outsiders, to people like me. And we chatted for about half an hour this weekend, and she told me that she's enjoying going to school. She is playing her instrument, the sarod. She actually performed at a local festival the other day. And she's enjoying just going outside and being free. The other thing that she's enjoying is sports. So she likes to play basketball. She's quite tall. And soccer. And I asked her, well, are you keeping up with the World Cup? And she said, yes. And I'm rooting for Brazil and Spain.
Wow. I mean, what is that like, calling up a former deity? Because, I mean, you knew her as a goddess, and now she's talking to you.
Well, for me, it was quite moving because I'd always wanted to hear her voice. The first time I met her in 2011, she was this shy young girl. Then last year, she had, you know, grown. But again, I could never hear her voice. I could never hear the emotions. And this time, it was just so riveting for me to kind of feel what is going through her head, through her voice. And her English was very good for someone who's been confined, and she spoke beautifully.
So what does life post-goddess kind of entail for her? I mean, is she going to be kind of like a normal young woman now?
Well, she's only 12 now, so we'll see what the future holds for her. But she's in seventh grade, and since she was only a Kumari for 4 years, the adjustment was a little easier for her. So she's making new friends. She's having a good time in school. You know, she can go to college. Her predecessor went to college, studied business, as you heard in the piece, and is a successful business student. So I think she has big dreams ahead.
When this Kumari now goes to school, I mean, how's she treated? Is she kind of like a Hollywood celebrity that goes to college suddenly?
Well, I asked her about that, and she said to me on the phone, yes, they still view her with reverence. Even though she's no longer Kumari, they still call her Kumari instead of her real name, Samitha. So it's still difficult adjusting to life when kids don't see you as they do the other kids in school.
You seem to have been really lucky to have hung out with the Kumari and had such access to her. There's this one shot in your video, which we've got online at PRI.org. She's at a ceremony and being revered, as one does with goddesses, she looks actually a little overwhelmed, like she doesn't quite know how to deal with all these people who are kind of kowtowing to her.
Yeah, and especially when there were photographers in the midst, you know, and her eyes would constantly dart left and right, up and down. And it's a big burden and responsibility to be a goddess, to make people's wishes and dreams come true. So she would feel nervous.
Well, we certainly know the vividness and the colors of your still images, and the video certainly follows suit. Sonia Narang, thank you very much.
Thank you, Marco.
Again, you can see Sonia's video at PRI.org. Sonia's trip to Nepal was supported by the International Center for Journalists. This is PRI, Public Radio International.